All right, everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Crypto 101 podcast. Pizza Mind here, and I'm joined today by Matej Jack, the Chief Product Officer at Trezor, everyone's favorite hardware wallet, mine especially. So very happy to have him on today and get to learn some more about best practices of being a self-custodian of one's wealth. Matej, welcome. How are you doing?
Hey, pleasure meeting you. It's been great. Well, besides all the things that's happening in Europe, as you know, but yeah.
What's happening? Is it the basketball playoffs over there? Is Turkey not winning?
Well, it's a little more serious than that, but...
Oh, must be hockey playoffs. I get that completely. Well, very good. Where are you calling in from?
I'm based in Prague, as is the company.
Based in Prague?
Based in Prague, Czech Republic, yes.
I hear that's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. I hope to be able to come visit someday very soon and enjoy
it. It is, and when you do, give us a call and we will give you a tour around the office.
I'm looking forward to it. But in the meantime, let's learn a little bit more about your background, who you are, what were you doing before you got started building this amazing, product at Trezor?
So actually, my career started off as a musician, which is kind of unexpected, I guess, in this career choice. But I kind of progressed towards startups, basically, and IT. I founded a few of my own startups and companies that I was interested in, like products that I wanted to build. And, one thing led to another, and here I am at Trezor. So basically, I met the founders. They were looking for some product leaders. And since product management is like the thing that I love the most, it was an easy transition to Trezor and Bitcoin.
That's awesome. Let's talk about a really, really high level first. Trezor is what we would call a cold wallet or a hardware wallet. What is the difference between a soft wallet, hard wallet, hot wallet? We hear all these terms being thrown around all the time. Can you define some of the differences for us?
Yeah, absolutely. That is the key value proposition that Trezor as a product and as a company brings to the world, and was actually one of the first, or actually the very first one that brought this to the world. And that is the fact that it stores your private keys offline in a offline storage. And that is the key difference between the hard wallets and what you hear, hardware wallets or cold storage, as you mentioned. So the key difference is that the private keys that you need to access, Bitcoin or other networks are stored offline. So they really can't be stolen from like your online activity or anything. Unlike, for example, exchanges such as Coinbase or Binance or whatever other exchange your listeners might know, usually you have the keys stored on some server that is run by the company, which is not the case of Trezor.
So it's kind of like if you've got a hardware wallet, it's sort of like just having your own wallet with cash in your back pocket. Versus using an exchange, it's like putting your crypto in a bank and they take care of it for you. Is that right?
Exactly. That is exactly right. So we sometimes say, or you would hear one of these claims that you're basically being your own bank when you have these private keys in your self-custody, meaning you are your own sort of lord of the keys and you are in charge of them. That brings sort of rights and responsibilities as well. So you need to be careful how you treat these. And Trezor hardware and the whole ecosystem, the software part we built as well, helps you to do that in a proper and safe way. Sorry.
And I would think it's a really good thing to note, the crypto exchanges are not exactly banking grade secure. They don't really have those kinds of standards as banks do. They don't have a tried and true reputation of using the same code for the last 50 years. So there's a lot of hacks that can happen that are almost like a bank getting robbed and the vault getting drained of all the cash and gold. So if you are in a country where this happens regularly. Maybe you don't keep your money in a bank. You keep it under your mattress or in a shoebox or buried in your backyard. And it's really important to think of crypto the same way in this early stage of our industry. What are some of the pros of keeping your money on an exchange, though?
You know, I would probably say since, you know, even your probably audience is mainly, you know, aimed at the novices of Bitcoin and crypto in general. I think it's fair to say it's fine to go on an exchange and, you know, buy your first Bitcoin and try to experience with things, at least to know, to get to learn, you know, learn how things works, how you feel about certain processes and about, like, basically, yeah, exchanging fiat for crypto or for Bitcoin. But once you perhaps amass, you know, like a certain volume of Bitcoin on these exchanges, it's definitely recommended to move it to a cold storage. Because as you say, and there are many, many cases, exchanges get hacked all the time. Whereas hardware wallets don't get hacked as much, or it's close to impossible, or you need like a super specialized hardware to do so, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Coinbase's cold storage is a much larger attack vector than your own Trezor that's sitting in a safe somewhere. So that definitely makes a lot of sense. Let's talk about what a wallet is itself, because I think there's even just the term wallet is really confusing. People will think, you know, well, if I lose my wallet or if it gets uninstalled, I've lost all of my crypto. Is it actually storing my crypto in there, and it needs to connect to the blockchain for anyone to see my balance? And I think that's a big misunderstanding. You know, what really is a wallet in relation to blockchain?
Yeah, it's a very good question, because that is something that we try to explain to our users all the time, or especially the new users that come to our ecosystem. So Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies are not stored on the hardware itself. The hardware itself just stores the private keys, as I mentioned, and the public keys that are derived from it. And you can think of the public keys as sort of your, you know, account number, like if you compare it to a bank account. So that's basically like the public information that you can share with people, and then funds can be sent to the certain address. But Bitcoin is stored on the network. It's not technically stored in the hardware itself. The hardware just helps you to access it, to connect to it, to sign transactions. And again, we also develop like software that helps you manage all this in a user-friendly way. So you know, as you would with sort of your online banking or like your banking software, you would open a UI and you would manage all these things, your portfolio basically and transactions.
I remember when I started in crypto, every coin had to have its own wallet. And if they didn't, like, you were just laughed at as like this weird imitator, like and the developer who couldn't even make their own wallet. And it was so inconvenient. I had to get like, you know, 15 or 20 different wallets on my desktop and keep them open and keep the nodes synced. And it was this huge pain in the ass because everything was always Linux native and it wouldn't work on Windows until like 2 years into the project's creation. It was so annoying. And then people started thinking there's got to be a better way, and started somehow combining several blockchains into one user interface. And it was this great aha moment that said, hey, we don't need to keep reinventing the wheel. We can just use this. It works great. How do you guys at Trezor decide which blockchains to integrate into your product? Are there any specific keys or metrics that you guys look at, or is it all just user demand? How do you guys figure this out?
Yeah, I would say it's the $1 million question for us, for sure. It is something that we still try to optimize. We don't, like, to be honest, we don't really hear or fulfill these requests from the community, I would say, as much, because there's really a lot of new networks coming in and new sort of altcoins being created every time. And I honestly like most of these are doesn't have really value to not to the users, not to us as a company, to be honest, because it's really hard to maintain them and to implement them. So our really key focus is on privacy and security in this sense. So we like everything that's related to Bitcoin, of course, that's the number one, but also other networks that somehow brings or improves this like use cases for users. So the ones that are the networks that are that have some, for example, privacy enhancing features are the ones that we would prefer to implement before anything that's just like yet another altcoin.
That's real interesting. So you have like a market sector that you want to support. I think that's really cool.
Exactly.
And privacy definitely needs that. So thank you, first of all. But as far as like popularity and what people are really into these days, I mean, we just can't ignore NFTs and DAO voting. How can that be handled through a hardware wallet?
So in our own case, we don't support these things in our interface that we call Trezor Suite, which is basically, like I said, it's a desktop and soon to be also a mobile app where you manage all these like things. You can also connect Trezor with other third-party software, such as MetaMask. And MetaMask is probably the place where you would manage your NFTs. And they provide much better jobs for sort of like managing these. We just provide the, just as I quote unquote, but because it's the most important part, but the hardware again secures the private keys and helps you to keep everything safely. But there are other third parties, sort of wallets or interfaces, let's say, where you manage NFTs.
So let me get this straight. You've got the little Trezor device, which provides a security layer, and it can connect mm-hmm. to really any UI that's built for it. One being the Trezor Suite, another being MetaMask, and then so on and so on. Is that correct?
Exactly. It's exactly.
Oh, correct. That's great. Okay, cool. So there's a little bit of something for everybody. How can Trezor help with a lot of the crazy stuff that's going on in the world? I know we kind of teased it a little bit earlier in the talk, but whether it's protesters in Canada or people in Russia right now that are good law-abiding citizens that are suddenly finding themselves unable to access their bank accounts, or people in Ukraine that are fleeing and having to leave everything behind. How can Trezor benefit all of these people?
I think it's very topical, obviously, when you see what happens or what's happening to the currency in Russia, basically, which is plummeted from one day to another. Bitcoin in general, because it's not just Trezor. Trezor is is a part of something bigger that's called Bitcoin. And so we help, secure the funds there, of course. And I mean, this is like a sterile example of like the users of Bitcoin and Trezor are probably much better situated now in Russia than, than the ones that haven't been using like Bitcoin and Trezor. So because, like I said, because of all these things that happen to Ruble. So, I guess the key point here is that the philosophy of Bitcoin is to bridge borders or to exist above borders and above the local economical situation, sort of, or crisis even in this case. And I guess that's the key message that we are trying to tell to the world and through our products and services.
By now, you've probably heard all about cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, and you might have even already started investing in them. But did you know that you could invest in cryptocurrencies through your retirement account? That's right. With iTrust Capital, you can buy and sell cryptocurrencies from a crypto IRA and get all the same tax advantages as a traditional IRA. So iTrust Capital allows you to invest in over 24 of the most popular cryptocurrencies. And unlike the stock market, you can buy and sell 24 hours a day. The iTrust Capital platform is easy to use, and it only takes a few minutes to create your account. And setting up an IRA is free, and iTrust's fees are low. It's time to start taking control of your financial future. And with iTrust Capital, you can get all the tax benefits of a retirement account while investing in crypto. So visit itrust.capital/crypto101 to start investing today. Again, that's itrust.capital/crypto101. Taxes and conditions may apply, fees apply, and cryptocurrencies are a speculative investment with risk of loss. And iTrust Capital Incorporated does not provide legal, investment, or tax advice. Consult with a qualified legal, investment, or tax professional.
I would ask you if you've seen an uptick in product demand since the world lost its mind. But where on the timeline would you really point to that occurring at any time over the past several years? But, you know, just recently, have you seen an uptick in demand?
Well, definitely it was 2017 was the first one. I think it was even before when I joined the company, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, I think it was even before. And the last one was definitely last year. I think last year was the big year of Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. So that's the biggest uptick. Yeah, so I guess these 2 years are the significant ones.
Yeah, it's been really, really crazy. What else does Trezor integrate with that the average person might not think of?
I would say you could probably, because it's the device itself, it also helps you to sign messages, for example. You can use it as a authenticator, as a device that helps you authenticate certain services. And in general, like, we also have a product that's called Password Manager, so you can also manage, basically encrypt any kind of information. So that is something that Trezor does as well. But still the focus for us is the support of new money being Bitcoin. And so we try to bring to the users the sort of the best user experience that we can.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can people use it with their mobile wallets, or is it just desktop only?
So we have sort of like a desktop app and web app as well. The web is also as a mobile version, but I mean, it's not like extreme. It's like not a native app or anything. We are actually in the process right now to start developing a mobile app directly that you could connect Trezor with. It will be an Android app. And eventually an iOS app as well.
That's great. We're seeing a lot of software wallets now trying to integrate exchange features, staking features, all kinds of stuff going on. What kind of challenges does that present to you guys on the back end for security? Is it just a couple extra features you need to build, or is it a huge, huge undertaking?
So for us, like supporting new currencies or new networks, it is hard. I won't lie. It's because you need to support it on the hardware part as well as the software part. And these networks, you know, bear in mind, keep being like developed and enhanced. So basically we keep maintaining those as well. So that is definitely some work related to it as well. When it comes to, you know, new exchanges, so like exchanges and maybe some buy, sell, and like all these features, we actually support those within the Trezor ecosystem as well. So, you know, Trezor Suite was mentioned earlier. So for the new users or even like experienced ones, that you can actually buy an exchange and do all these things within the ecosystem itself. And it's probably the safest way because it's sort of under, you know, our management, or I mean, under our own security guardship, to put it that way. So we check that everything that once you connect to the exchange, we make sure that the address that you will receive the funds is actually generated by Trezor, and you check it with the device on the screen itself. And so it's probably the most secure, I would say.
There's a lot of regulatory rumors from international bodies that offer quote unquote guidance since they don't have any authority to make laws, but they don't like non-custodial wallets. They don't want people to be their own banks. They want people to keep their money and their crypto in banks where they can be fully controlled and audited and taxed and all that stuff. And they're trying to pass guidance saying that exchanges cannot even accept funds from non-custodial wallets unless there's some kind of KYC there. How does that affect Trezor and its users if that actually comes to pass?
Yeah, so, well, you can still send or use, you know, well, one of the main use cases in Trezor ecosystem, is, I guess, is what's called hodling. So basically, you get the Bitcoin there and you keep it there and you sort of wait. you don't send it anywhere. You don't trade with it. We also built a new feature or almost like a product itself, which is called CoinJoin, that helps you to make transactions. So you don't really... You can't really tell where the transaction comes from. So if it gets subjected to like a Bitcoin, sort of like a blockchain analysis, it really makes it impossible for the person that would like to know like who owns what to tell so, because it's basically like a mixture that helps you to do that. And you know, like I won't lie, like sort of the red tape on Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies is raising. We can feel that. But on the other side, I don't think we will ever be like a subject to, or we won't do anything that would be like KYC related, or like that it would be like subject to a KYC. I think that's I think we'd rather stop doing what do we do? Well, it's maybe an exaggeration, but like we don't really want to give the government any information that, about our users, unless it's like, of course, like a legal and necessary or anything.
Yeah, makes lots of sense. And you guys don't even collect information on your users other than, you know, where to ship the product. So that'd be really, really difficult no matter what they ask for. And I think that's the great thing about non-custodial wallets.
Exactly. We even like sometimes have like those cases where, you know, somebody needs some information from us and, you know, we say the safest data is the one that you don't have. And that's our own case. We actually delete everything after 90 days. So we don't really like from like the users that buy products from our site. So we don't have their data. So it can't really be stolen from us, hopefully.
Yeah.
At least within the 90 days.
Yeah. Well, that's great to know. And as far as like the exchange features within Trezor Suite, if centralized exchanges were to, you know, cut off all hardware wallets, for example, do you have decentralized exchange partners so the ecosystem can still keep rolling?
Yeah, we are actually implementing some decentralized exchanges as well, which is exciting. So that's definitely, you know, an option there as well. And like I said, there's still like a peer-to-peer transaction that happened in Bitcoin. And so there are other use cases, not just like trading on exchanges. So where, you know, Trezor is still like super relevant product to keep like your Bitcoin safe.
What other features in the Bitcoin ecosystem that are in development by third parties right now have you really excited that maybe you hope to integrate into Trezor someday?
I would say the one that is the most exciting that we are working on is the CoinJoin that I already mentioned, because that really helps. You know, Bitcoin is, of course, it's anonymous in a way that you cannot really tell like who owns which address and which public keys belongs to whom. But this thing gets more complicated when there is KYCs on the exchanges that you mentioned involved. And then through the Bitcoin, through the blockchain analysis, all of a sudden you can, you know, like identify certain individuals. And that's something that we don't like. It's not what the product is about. It's just the opposite. We want to give the users as much privacy as we can. and the CoinJoin that we plan to implement later this year is actually helping in a major way and makes it close to impossible for the blockchain analysis to tell who basically whose address is, you know, what and stuff like that.
And that's really great, especially when you consider, you know, what was going on in Canada. And they're literally like sending physical letters to all these wallet companies saying, you know, we demand you freeze customer funds and this and that and whatnot. And, you know, don't even let these people track your funds, which is highly illegal in the first place, majorly unethical. And just because these people make the laws doesn't mean they're right or good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Exactly.
Glad we have tools to combat a lot of that stuff. Well, before we let you go, just a couple more questions for you. Besides anyone working at Trezor or, you know, any of your, you know, direct investments, you know, who's someone that you really admire in the space that, you know, really inspires you to keep doing what you're doing?
I mean, it will sound extremely cheesy, but I get to work with people who actually founded the hardware wallet industry, the ones that came up with these standards that are now used, you know, all around across the whole industry. And that's the founders of Trezor. Again, I know it sounds cheesy, but they are really super inspiring people. They are super humble as well. So, it's what actually got me into the company and what kept me going and what kind of keeps me inspiring every day. Because when I see the roadmap that we are working on, it's like really we are changing the world from, you know, from Czech Republic. Like, it's a small country in the middle of Europe. The world hasn't really heard of us, I guess, that much. And we are changing that in a major way. And I'm really proud of that. I'm really, really proud of that.
That's cool. Awesome. And lastly, can you leave us with some security best practices of what we should do to keep our crypto safe in addition to storing our keys in a hardware wallet?
Yeah, the LDR, don't keep your funds on exchanges, put them on hardware wallet, preferably Trezor, but if you, for some reason, fancy some other hardware wallet, do that, please. And don't keep the funds on the exchanges. Yeah, and you know, like we also implemented features such as Tor, so it also helps, you know, to so people can track where you like browsing from, check your, I guess, computers for malware and stuff like that. So I would say, like, yeah, it's a set of things to try to stay private in a way and secure by having some, I would say, like online hygiene that is the right and that works for you the best.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Matej. This has been a great conversation. Where can people follow you to learn more about what you're doing and what Trezor is building?
So everything Trezor related would be fine on Trezor, Trezor.io. That's our homepage, and we are actually building a new one. So in a couple of months, you will see a new fancy site. And there are links to, you know, our blogs that are, I would say, a really great source of information around, our products, but basically like a user's security and privacy in general. And for me personally, I'm mostly, I guess, active on LinkedIn or if you just Google around, you'll probably find my Twitter as well, but I'm not the most engaged user there.
Very well. One more best practice that I want to mention is make sure you go to Trezor.io to buy your Trezor. Don't go to Amazon. Don't buy it from any third-party resellers because you never know if it's been tampered with or the keys have been stolen. Very, very critical to make sure that security tape is in place and you're getting something that's authentic and new. And really the only place you can trust is the factory. So once again, that's Trezor.io.
Thank you, Aaron.
My pleasure. All right, everyone. That concludes this episode. We will see you later this week with another one. Thank you, Crypt Nation.
Thank you. Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.